Hey, you just got done listening to me talk about Kevin Burleson and his streaky streak, doo-doo streak, if you will. joining me to elaborate further, a very funny man based out of New York City, writer and EP on Desus and Mero. He's got his own pod called the Make My Day Podcast. Got a book out, too. It's called Nice Try, available wherever you read. Put your hands together for Josh Gondelman, everybody. Hey. What's up? Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. No, dude, thank you for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. And I love talking about, like, bad streaks. I think it's, I like, love the idea of people, like, people who are so good at the thing they do, especially in sports, right? And who go down in history, like Bill Buckner at one point was one of the top baseball players in the world. And he's famous for missing one ground ball. And I'm fascinated with that.
Yeah. The pressure is so high. I mean, if there was someone keeping stats on like jokes, like I'd be kicked out. I'd be in a farm league. Like I've tried jokes so many times that have, like, not whole jokes, but like, you know, one tag that you love.
Sure.
And it never works, but you just keep doing it.
Yes. I think that that's true, right? There are so few careers, like in comedy, you have to bomb on such an epic stage for it to define your career. I can think of one bomb that's so bad, and it was not an act. It was like that person's fault for sure. It's like, if I'm thinking of like Bill Buckner sized career defining bombs, it's like Michael Richards, end of list.
Yeah. That's it. One guy in sports. It happens every few years. Nick Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a really bad bomb. Yeah.
You hear about like, and then there's guys who just like kind of, caught the proverbial stray of like someone else being excellent, right? Like Wally Pipp in baseball, where you just like, oh yeah, Lou Gehrig came in and just erased your whole life.
Oh no, it happened in rap too. Biggie ended Kwame's career because he made fun of his shirt so bad on the song. You remember?
But I love like that kind of thing. And it's, you know, I feel so much sympathy for people like Kevin Burleson who like, this is the most, the record that he set, right? The thing that will go down in like the trivia record books is this. And it's like his career, he played all over the place. He is a coach. And it's like, now we're talking about him because he missed 36 shots in a row.
Man, over the course of weeks too.
You know, 2 months, it's like 62 days, right?
It took a long ass time for him to miss them shots.
Imagine having any other job where you are just on this cold streak of like going in for 2 months straight and just whiffing at the fundamental. Yeah, 2 months of bombing. I just imagine being a lumberjack and just not being able to hit a tree for 2 months.
And they don't fire you.
Yeah, they don't fire you. Like, they're just like, hey, man, shooter.
He's going to get it together.
Lumberjack. You got to go out there and take your cuts. 36, two months in a row, just like whiffing and people going like, all right, well, you know, why don't you go home for the day, come back in 2 days and try again.
Yeah. Give it a look. We're not going to make you cut today.
Yeah.
You sit there. You watch some guys, see how it looks.
Yep. Go home, man. Amazing. You know, come in on an off day, swing at a bunch of planks, right? Swing an axe at a bunch of wooden planks to get ready for the trees.
On a side note, I'm definitely thinking like I've wanted to keep score in comedy for years. Mm-hmm. I want every show to have a statistician with an official book. There's two refs. They're far away. They're not like next to you, but like there's people watching. Sure. There's official records. I was in DC. I was trying to get I was like, what if there's a comedy fantasy league? But it's like, I don't want to get into a fist fight. Like right. it would not end good, but damn it if I don't want it.
There would be people who'd take it very badly. It's also very, the idea of like funny ball, right? Is that, that's what that is.
Ooh, you done came up with the name. Yo, funny ball is back. Funny ball.
It's so like, I would just, my stats for years would have been so bad. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like just like starting out and just like those sweaty first shows. Oh,
hey, let me ask you this. I never knew. Who's your team?
Who's I'm a Celtics guy.
Oh man. Well, okay. Let me just take that in.
If you'd like to end the podcast now, I understand.
Yeah. It just fucked my head up because you're such a nice guy. I didn't think.
Thank you. What is the nice guy team? Like, who would you have thought was my team?
Fuck, the Timberwolves, some shit. Some teams are just like, done. Who gives a shit ass team?
I've got kind of a Karl Anthony Towns disposition, if not skill set.
Yeah. Just out here trying to make it, man. You know?
I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I just read Michael Pena's GQ profile of Kevin Garnett, which is, have you read it? It's incredible. It's Kevin Garnett, speaking Timberwolves and Celtics, bridging the gap, is so close to my heart.
Absolutely.
His Anything's Possible post-game speech when they won the championship in 08 is like maybe my favorite off-field, off-court sports moment of all time. And there's just like so many gems. Speaking of Biggie, there's a story about him like meeting Biggie at the All-Star game in 97 and like declining to smoke weed in his hotel room. But like Biggie pulls up in a limo and opens it. He's got like a fur coat and there's just two women under his fur coat.
Coat? Oh my God.
He's like smuggling them in the way you bring in like milk duds into a movie. He reveals that his favorite movie of all time is Serendipity with John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale.
Yo.
It's incredible.
Fuck yeah. That's the street I grew up on too. Shouts out to Serendipity Road. Mom, dad, the folks. Yeah, yeah. We used to call it the Dips.
And congratulations to your Wizards killing it so far.
Yeah, you want to talk about a nice guy team? Let's go. I can't believe what I'm watching. We're in first place and it's beautiful.
It's incredible.
By the time this podcast comes out, maybe we won't be in first place, but mark it down, folks. When we recorded, I'm holding up today's new. Let me pull out a pay stub. We are in first place. It is November. Fuck you. I feel very good.
It's so funny. The idea of like, I'm imagining like you being kidnapped and having to prove it today. And you're like, well, can I hold the conference standings to prove that I'm alive and that the Wizards are in first place?
Yeah. Come on, man. If you're going to shoot me anyway, just pull it up. I have my phone right here.
Once it's on the record. Oh yeah. Holding up your phone. I guess you could do that. Right. I'm thinking about.
Well, if you're being kidnapped, they took your phone. Right. I mean, but they're good kidnappers.
They could hold up their phone in front of you and be like, here's what today is. Here's the New York Times headline.
Thanks.
Yeah. But I'm still thinking about analog kidnappings.
Man, analog kidnap. Yo, somebody's going to bring it back. Cassettes come back every 5-6 years. I'm still buying CDs. Analog kidnapping is back, Jack.
Because when you think about when you're announcing a kidnapping, even you still picture the classic ransom note. Now imagine this is my like old guy shit about like kids these days don't even know. You just have to cut a ransom note out of a magazine.
Back in my day, we used to buy 8 different Vogues.
Right. You needed to hit a newsstand and you couldn't all get them from the same newsstand. They would know you were up to something.
Oh, no. You had to drive to Schenectady. You had to come back to Long Island.
We needed a glue stick. We needed scissors. Now you just hold up a cell phone with the Huffington Post front page.
Unbelievable. Where's the craftsmanship?
Kidnappers these days.
Book it. That's a good one. Kidnappers these days. That's some classic comedy right there. Fuck.
Man, thank you.
We've gone on a journey. Thank you. On this podcast.
Sorry to take us so off course.
Oh no. I just wanted to bring it back. We discussed the best Kevin. Let's get back to a lesser Kevin.
Please.
Mr. Burleson.
Yes.
Do you think if his career went better, he would be the Burleson on CBS?
I feel like he would be a Burleson on CBS. I feel like Nate had a pretty good career though, right? In football.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he played like damn near 10 years.
Yeah.
Couple playoff appearances.
This story though reminds me of like how hard it is to make it at that level and to stick around. Like this, imagine, like, I bet when the surrounding towns when they played like football and basketball against the Burleson, you know, like, oh shit, there's another Burleson kid that's in high school now. He's going to crush us. And like, they're probably like legends in their hometown. They played professionally. And now it's like, this is his legacy. I'm like obsessed with that.
Yeah. And shouts out to our guy, Harry Swordout, on the boards for finding this. Nobody knew this happened until this podcast.
Incredible.
I want to put that.
Kevin Burleson, I'm sorry that we're dragging your good name through the mud, but hopefully,
yeah,
hopefully people will also know the good things you did. I also love like the mix of people who play in Europe, right? Or play in like in international leagues outside the NBA is always so fascinating to me. Cause it's like, guy who came out of D1 and hasn't quite didn't get drafted and is like trying to play his way into the league. Guy on the tail end of his career, maybe trying to make a few more paychecks and keep his career going. And then like Ukrainian teenager smoking a cigarette on the court while throwing behind the back passes.
Yeah. And his whole family also smoking cigs in the crowd. They got leather jackets on.
Right.
We're indoors.
Yep. Right. A cloud over the arena. It's like, how is this game canceled because of smog conditions inside?
Yo, I know that Europe stuff is wild. And I mean, the pay isn't great. Like, I know in women's sports, Europe pays better than here, but I don't think it goes the same way for men.
And well, the women's sports are tough, right? Because like, I forget who I heard this from. I should cite my sources, but like WNBA players immediately after the season ends going to play overseas to like make their year financially, which is like, that's a tough year. I feel like when, for men's sports, right? Especially the NBA, you're like, man, they must be so tired from playing in the Olympics. And the, I bet like WNBA players are like, oh, must be tough, you know, having to play two more weeks. Sorry, Kevin Durant.
They have to go straight from Europe back here. Like, there's so many instances where they got to come back and it's already 3 weeks into the season. No break.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You just got done with a full schedule. Yep.
Yes.
Of even maybe more games. It's nuts. It's wild. Nutty.
It's really a lot. And then there's like the players that become international legends. Like Stephon Marbury has statues of him in China.
Yeah. Jimmer Fredette dropped 75 yesterday.
No way. Wait, where does he play now?
Like for real.
That's incredible.
He's in China. He went to China.
Oh, that's so great.
I showed this stat to my friends. I was like with some people and I was like, yo, Jimmer went crazy last night. They were like, where? I said, China. They were like, dude. Like someone almost smacked my phone out of my hand. Like they were like, how dare you mention China stats?
Right. Right.
I'm like, I was like, wait, guys, none of us play professional.
Right.
Like it's still, we can't go, don't act like you could drop 70 in China right now.
I would score 0 points in a professional basketball game in China. But
I don't think I would score in a China game.
It still feels like though, I get it because it still feels like when you're like, oh, he scored 70 points in China. That's like, he dunked on a 12-foot rim, but it was on the moon. So the gravity was different.
Oh man, moon ball on the way. Funny ball, then funny moon ball.
Mooney ball.
They're coming. They got a Mooney ball. It's Paul Mooney.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. is, yeah.
Wait, I opened for Paul Mooney. This is a long digression, or wild digression, but I opened for Paul Mooney for a weekend in Philadelphia. And it was like one of the most fascinating weekends of my life because it was like really incredible to watch him work. The first night, it was Wednesday through Saturday, 6 shows. Wednesday night, he did 2 hours and 45 minutes. And people were leaving.
What?
Not because they were like, I'm walking out because I'm offended. They were like, our babysitter is falling asleep. We have to get home. It's Wednesday night at 11:30. And then the last night, we like didn't really talk, but we were in the green room at the same time. I kind of did everything through his assistant. I would bring up his assistant on the stage.
I mean, I'm shocked.
It's incredible.
I'm shocked to even let a white guy
do
it.
He prefers. I think he would ask for kind of like a dweeby white guy for contrast.
Nice.
But he wouldn't, you know, we weren't like hanging out. One night I was like, hey, really a pleasure working with you as I was leaving for the night. And he goes, who are you? And the last night, this is like formative comedy memory. This is probably 8 years ago. His assistant asked me, she's very sweet, making small talk. She goes, are you driving home tomorrow from Philly to New York? And I say, yes, she goes, are you driving alone? I go, no, I have a friend who is going to visit her brother. She's going to come with me. And Mooney, who has been, I think, pretending to sleep on the couch, just like head back, eyes closed, yeah. sits up straight and goes, "Never drive alone if you can help it. Cops are lying motherfuckers and you need a witness at all times." And then immediately closed his eyes and went back to sleep.
Yo. Out of the coffin. Out of the coffin with the facts. Damn.
It was incredible. It's like, I've gotten advice from headliners before, but never advice that was like, so you're like, oh, this is from the heart. Like, he doesn't give a shit yeah. about my comedy, but he woke up from a, I think again, fake sleep to be like, fuck the police. And then back to sleep. Like, that's my advice to you. Fuck cops. ACAB.
Damn. Yo, Mooney Ball is on the way. I'm texting somebody right now.
No white players.
Right fucking now.
No white players in the league.
You guys stay home. But when we get it done, you guys can definitely come watch, buy tickets. Mm-hmm.
They cost twice as much for white fans.
Obviously, it's not going to be equal mm-hmm. rates. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to play with those numbers. Mm-hmm.
I loved your comment in the story about Murder Block sounding so
oh, yes.
Jamaican, but it also is such a German way to describe a block shot to be like, his life force was snuffed out. Like,
yeah.
Like, I imagine that all German calls are just like, the shot was extinguished just as our own lives will eventually be ended by the outstretched hand of Father Time himself. Just like everything in German sports, it relates back to like death and pain.
They got to be wearing black turtlenecks. Yeah, the whole bit, man. Nah, if they're dressed normal, I'd be pissed.
I know. I'm picturing full sprockets, like Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
Classic German shit.
The halftime show is just like, you know, black and white footage of like a deer being gutted.
Just the like cleanup.
Thank after. You. Yeah. Then a guy shoots a half court shot. So still, they'd still do the half court shot.
That's so funny. And he's just like crying softly while he shoots.
Oh, but yeah. Look, after we get Mooney Ball off the ground, German art house ball.
Absolutely.
Gotta be rule of threes. Mm-hmm. So I think we found our third.
This is where the Memphis Grizzlies meet Grizzly Man.
This is what the fucking crossover you guys have been waiting for, yes, right?
Thank you.
Everybody says basketball, not entertaining enough.
Oh, well, here not it is.
Serious.
Yeah. Oh, the game is soft. Yeah? How about fucking Slaughterhouse on the court?
Yeah. What do you think about that? What do you think about somebody taking a dump in public? I'm not going to say where or how it looks.
Yeah, is that...
What do you think about that, fam?
Take that, 1995 Knicks Heat games. This is way more hardcore.
Yeah. Shut up, Charles Oakley.
Banned from MSG. A legend.
Oh, man, that's terrible, I don't man. You got to reverse that decision. Come on, man.
Really bad decision.
You better be back. That's... I know. I mean, dude, after everything... After everything we've
bring
been through,
him back.
You're going to say, oh, can't come?
Let him get the first deer at halftime. Just a peace offering.
Yeah.
German art house ball.
James Dolan presents him with a deer. Sir, we apologize for how we treated you. Now go to work.
Go to work. It's time. Yeah, there's just so much in this story. Because I think like we think about professional basketball sometimes as like the NBA and then, you know, there are people who are college fans and of course WNBA fans for sure. But like there's so much professional sports that's outside of the spotlight. And I think like this Kevin Burleson story, as much as it illustrates like this streak is about that, right? It's about like what it takes. Like he played
for, sure.
for the Bobcats, which is the perfect team for this.
They
to
don't
happen
exist.
To. They don't exist. Right. The Bobcats existed so briefly and as in that form.
Do you have a favorite Bobcat? If you had to be one Bobcat for the rest of your life, who would it be?
Gosh, I forget who. You mentioned Emeka Okafor.
Yeah, that's a solid one. And I mean, if you want to be hot, it's not a bad call. Tall, he's got Ibaka vibes. Mm-hmm. He's not as hot as Ibaka, but mm-hmm. it'll work, dude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as long as you're not in LA, you're good money.
And he was like UConn legend, right? Am I thinking of that right?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. So I like the New England connection, but I forget who played for them those years because those teams were bad. And then the team essentially stopped. Like, was it was like, oh, we can't even, like, this team's so bad, we got to erase the name.
Yeah, no, Jordan put an end to that shit real quick. I think they made the playoffs one year when they had Steven Jackson.
Right.
You know how sometimes when, like, contracts get fucked up and really good teams have to let some guys go, mm-hmm. they always end up somewhere they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Steven Jackson is a great example. And I think he just, like, punked everybody into being good there one season. He was like, if you guys aren't good, I'm going to beat your ass. And I think it worked.
Yeah. Sometimes you need that guy, right? Like, and
yeah.
I think some people respond to it better than others. Again, going back to Kevin Garnett, there's like all those stories of him making like teammates cry by yelling at them, which is like, it's so hard to do. Like, imagine, and this is like, you know, imagine in NBA culture, the resistance to just crying. Like, we've seen guys like get their legs snap and just like bite through their lip, like, I'll survive this.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Garnett is just like, you're a piece of shit. You're nothing. You can't play. You deserve to be out of the league. And just like tears going down the guy's face. And it's like, there, everything in the culture of that job is like, don't cry right now. Don't cry right now. This, you could be out of the league just for crying. Forget like your shooting stats. Forget like playing bad defense. Yeah. And like Glenn Davis just like,
that's what the G League's for.
It's for crying.
Yeah, the G League is where you cry at. Don't bring that shit to the fucking bigs, please.
And this is not me being like, don't, men don't cry. It's just like, you, these men are not, don't feel like they're allowed to cry.
These particular ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not all of them. Just these, like, you know, 400 guys.
Right. They just professionally, like, one of the things is like, don't cry. And he did it. Like, and it's also, you don't win when the other guy cries, right? You're not like, oh, I made him cry and now the team is better.
Yeah, no, it might be worse.
It might be worse.
What if he never stops crying? Nobody knows. Like, you don't know when the crying's going to stop.
Right, right.
Which is probably one of the reasons why you don't want to cry in the league. It's like, what if I can't
stop? Yeah, what if you like that better than the rest of it? What if you're like, this feels so good, this catharsis. This is my favorite part. It's I haven't been this in touch with my feelings for years.
Man, that's a funny Hall of Fame speech. Some like a Patrick Ewing type character. He's like, I have so many memories in the league, but my favorite part of it all, the crying.
Or Jordan crying during his speech and then being like, you know what? I wish I'd let myself do this 20 years ago. This feels years amazing. Ago.
Yeah, man. That's why Allen Iverson cries all the time now. Mm-hmm. Every time you see Allen Iverson on camera, he just got done crying.
He knows how important it is to be in touch with your emotions.
Facts, man.
He's got AI, artificial intelligence, but he's also got emotional intelligence.
EI.
That's who he should be. EI. He's the answer, right? But the question was, how does that make you feel?
Well, I know the ending, that wasn't necessarily about Kevin, but it feels like a good spot to get out on. I don't think it's going to get better than that.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
And no problem. Any last, anything you want to tell the people? Any thoughts for Kevin? Any plugs? Let them have it. Let us hear it.
Kevin, I'm glad you're hanging in the league. I'm glad you're coaching. I think that this is a great story. Plugs. Yeah, I've got a podcast called Make My Day, Desus and Mero, Sundays and Thursdays at 11 on Showtime. I've got a book. If you're into books, it's an essay collection. And I'm out doing some stand up and around, mostly around New York now, but like I'm starting to fill in some road dates. Yeah.
Let's fucking go. Kevin. Yeah. Shouts out to them Wolves.
Anything is possible.
The Wolves are back. Anything is possible. Seattle's on the way. New Orleans is moving soon. And thanks for listening, guys. Once again, Josh Gondolf. Whoa.
Thank you. That was so fun.
Thanks for listening to NBA Storytime. I'm your host, co-writer, and stretch three on the floor, Jamel Johnson. Harry Swartout is our producer, co-writer, and a man heavily invested in RecSpecs. Daniel Hartigan is our script editor and the guy who mops up after people who fall down under the basket. Devin Shepherd is our associate producer and the only one who makes sure we all get on the bus on time. Thank you, Devin. Haley O'Shaughnessy is our consulting producer and leading the league in bench points. John Yales and Peter Moses are our executive producers, and they also insisted on calling their own fouls. Real good to you guys. Got an idea for a story you want us to tell? Leave it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll put it in front of our Podcast Homeowners Association to see if we're allowed to make it sometime in the future. And I'm not repainting my fence. NBA Storytime is a Blue Wire podcast. Catch you next time.